This is part two of a two-part podcast.
Hi, my name's Ryan. I've been a supporter of Paul's for many years now. I wish to get the podcast and video creation part of the system we call Paul back up to full speed. And I think Patreon support is a big part of that system. Go over to patreon.com/PaulWheaton. Make a pledge for each artifact that Paul creates. Again, the site is patreon.com/PaulWheaton. You can also find the link in the podcast notes. Enjoy the podcast.
Next up, you've got a dirty word in here that I want to poop all over.
Okay.
And that is, I think I saw, there's the word. Oh, but you've got a slash in it that mitigates the word. It says long-term goals.
Yeah.
Apple orchard slash food forest.
Yeah.
So I enjoy the fact that you like apples. Yay, team. Let's team apple. Let's go.
Yeah.
Orchard is a monocrop word. And so let's not do orchard.
Mm-hmm.
Food forest. Okay. I want to go a little beyond food forest and think food jungle. Mm-hmm. But I might be getting ahead of myself there. But let's say lots of trees, lots of fruit trees and fruit support trees and things of that nature, but no more than 10% apples. So every 10th tree is an apple.
Mm-hmm.
You cool with that? In fact, no more than 10% any one kind of species.
Okay.
So, every 10th tree might be black locust.
Mm-hmm.
Every 10th tree will be a walnut.
Yes, walnut.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep all your black walnuts over there.
Well, I was going to go.
They have a lot of
walnut.
Juglones coming out of their roots,
yeah.
And they're going to make it so that they're going to poison 2/3 of your species of the other stuff you're trying to grow. So let's go easy on black walnut. But let's say no more than 20% of your species are nut trees.
Okay.
Every 10th tree is an apricot.
Yep, apricots are on the list.
Every 10th tree is a plum.
Okay.
I want you to have 30% of your trees, 25% of your trees to be some kind of nitrogen fixer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want 40% of your trees or more to be taprooted species.
Okay.
All right. But now here's a crazy thing. Anytime you transplant a tree, you lose the taproot.
Yeah.
So I want you to start a lot of trees from seed in the place where they're going to live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, only 1 out of 20 is going to make it to adulthood.
Right.
So you're gonna plant way too many trees. And that includes apples.
Mm-hmm.
Apple trees have a taproot.
Mm-hmm.
All nut trees have a taproot. So you're going to start a lot of trees from seed after your earthworks.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to be doing it with, seed. So now I am totally cool with you starting a few apple trees and a few nut trees from transplants because you want to see stuff right away. And I don't want to deny you that.
Thank you.
But go easy on it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what you're going to do is going to be from seed.
Okay.
And so have patience. I think a big part of being of the permaculture jungle is demonstrating your ability to have patience, because our goal is to get to the point where you're going to have this magnificent jungle and you're not going to irrigate it at all.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's like 5 or 6 years down the road.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you got to build some soil and you've got a long uphill battle to do here.
I do.
Okay. All right. Okay. I want to throw out another idea and I want you to think about this and it might be 5 years out, but I want to bring it up now. And so I want you to start growing some over on one side or one site or away from your food crops or maybe on the other side of your new berms or something like that. Over there, you're going to grow some willow, you're going to grow some cottonwood, and you're going to grow some poplar.
Mm-hmm.
These are thirsty plants. And so if you're going to grow it at the berm, you need to grow it at the bottom of the berm. So when
right.
you water that lands on it and gets pushed to the side, they're going to get that extra water that's going to be happening there. You might even shape things a little bit so that your willow, poplar, and cottonwood gets a little extra water. You might even come up with some other cheats for that, and you're going to get you're going to get them started. Now, I want to throw the phrase willow feeder in your general direction.
Okay.
Do you know what a willow feeder is?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. So you might have had some thoughts about humanure.
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to think instead about a willow feeder system.
Okay.
And let's suppose for a moment that you plant those willows and they start to do well. And these species, willow, cottonwood, and poplar, these are what I call poop beasts.
Okay.
And there could be a time where you're going to get them going and they're going to get to be pretty happy and they're going to get to be 20 feet tall and you might build a dry outhouse right where, these trees are over in that corner. And you're going to set things up to be, outhouse-esque, but in such a way that, the roots of these species are going to dig into that. And then now, whenever you or a friend poops out there, these species are going to gobble all that up and convert it into, let's say, willow tree. And then your willow tree is going to thrive and become gigantic. And the material that's going to come out of the willow tree is going to be useful for other projects.
Yeah.
The thing is that we're not losing all of that organic matter that's being generated. We're keeping it on site. It's not going out into the septic tank and drain field. Speaking of septic tank and drain field.
Yeah.
I imagine you have a septic tank and drain field.
Yes.
All right. In the pictures, I'm not seeing a giant green patch where your drain field is.
Nope.
That's kind of weird.
Is it possible that
this house has been abandoned a long time?
It was unoccupied for over a year, yes.
Okay, that would do it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
A, make sure you don't build any berms or hugel cultures on top of your drain field. Know where your drain field is.
Plus,
it would be wise to not build anything over your septic tank either because you need to get into that once in a while.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I do want you to grow a jungle of grasses over your drain field. So you're going to be currently putting a bunch of your gray water and, well, your black water into your septic tank and drain field.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to get a whole bunch of grasses growing where your drain field is almost year-round.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be relatively active. And so that's going to be a source of mulch for you. You're going to go get those grasses because everything that you put down your drain to your septic tank and drain field is going to be awesome stuff. So no more antibacterial soap.
Right.
I want you to use, in fact, I want you to go on to probably Amazon.com. I don't give a shit what you feel about Amazon. Mm-hmm. I know it's out at Amazon. I want you to get the Oasis brand dish soap, and I want you to get the Oasis brand laundry detergent.
Mm-hmm.
And for any other, and I don't want you to ever use, there's no bleach in the house. None.
I'll have to get rid of that. Okay.
It's gone. Give it to some chump who you call a friend. Hey, you use this stuff, right? Here, this is.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. You owe me a Christmas. So, anyway, all those cleaners and the stuff, I want you to only use cleaners that you can eat.
And, mm-hmm.
and my guess is you don't eat bleach.
No.
So the bleach goes. So we could, that's a whole other conversation for another. Raven has a good book out there. It's called Cleaning with Cleaners You Can Eat. You need to read that book.
Okay. I do.
Oh, good. Good. Now, the thing is that all this stuff that's going into your septic tank is way better for your septic tank. And then all the stuff that's going to end up in your drain field is way better for your drain field. And you're going to get all these beautiful grasses growing there. And that's going to be one of your awesome mulch sources for your brand new hugel cultures that you're about to make. Full of nitrogen that you're going to put on your gardens. It's going to be great. Loving this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the food that you eat is already organic or better, I'm sure. I give you permission to eat at a non-organic restaurant from time to time. But that's, from time to time. Okay, all right, all right, moving along. The thing is that we're going to try and add all this nitrogen to our hugel cultures, and this grass that you're growing is going to be one of the sources. And then 5 years from now, you're going to make damn good use of that willow tree that you planted out there or those other poop beasts. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we've got the 2 acres of berm. And we've got like half of the space inside has got a bunch of hugel culture that needs to get, organic matter built up into it. You've got a whole bunch of wood chips. You probably didn't get some hay. You're out there. You're peeing on everything a lot. Mm-hmm. You're getting that urine all over the place on those wood chips to help, build soil. You've planted a lot of nitrogen fixers to help build soil. Your gardens, like maybe only for the first few years, maybe only 20% of the stuff that you're growing is not a soil builder or nitrogen fixer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get there. But this is, we're going to use patience. We're not importing fertilizers, right?
Nope.
We're growing our own. We did bring in some wood chips. If you could get some organic hay, that would be an excellent fertilizer and mulch.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my first plan. Now you get to ask a few questions about what have I done? What have you done to my land? This is the point where you bring that up.
No. Here's the thing. The big reason I'm planting these apple trees tomorrow is because we purchased this land last August, my partner Alex and I. And then on September 18th last year, he passed away. So we had 6 weeks together to make a plan. Yeah. And it was obviously unexpected. It was cancer. It was, just awful. And so this weekend is the anniversary of his death. And so I'm planting his ashes with these apple trees and a little bit of ashes with every tree so that, the ones that don't make it don't make me heartbroken. So that's where I'm going. Why this is happening this weekend and why it's, this way. So basically I just want to make these apple trees as successful as I possibly can.
Okay.
So, I guess my questions then are how much rock in the soil is too much? if I can get some organic hay, is that a good mulch to put on top or should I go with the wood chips to go on top? What are some things I can do to make this really successful? What's the best way to irrigate or water them? That kind of stuff.
All right. Okay. So, Now it's kind of become a slightly different mission. We got to make sure these trees live.
I
kind of feel like you gotta scratch out a bit of a design on what you're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you put in these hugel cultures, you're gonna place these hugel cultures so that you do not disturb these trees. And, cause I don't want you to dig up the trees.
Right.
The hugel cultures will be close to the trees. So that way, any nutrient or water that's up high in the hugel culture will end up coming down, and that the trees will be at the base of the hugel culture.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because you're planting them tomorrow and you don't have any hugel cultures set up yet.
No. Nope.
All right. Now the next thing I want to, so where you put the trees is going to be important. So that way hugel cultures can be placed next to the trees later.
Yeah.
Next,
there's about 30 feet between each hole.
Oh, good. So that's going to give you lots of room for later designs.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Now, the next piece of advice I want to give you is something that I read in a gardening book decades ago. And it said, it's better to plant a 10-cent tree in a $10 hole than to plant a $10 plant in a 10-cent hole.
Yep.
So what I want you to do is to dig a hole that's far bigger than you need.
Yep.
And then I want you to mix in some of that compost. In fact, even better.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to find a source for organic hay, and the price might be ridiculous. But
that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I also want you to pick up some organic alfalfa meal.
Okay.
Both have to be organic for all the reasons we've talked about already.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, alfalfa is a little bit easier because the persistent herbicides that can be used are generally broadleaf herbicides, meaning that all the grasses are left behind. So if you got organic, or if you got hay, if it's alfalfa hay, they probably didn't use any of those persistent herbicides on it.
Yeah.
If it's grass hay, 98% chance that they did.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. But if you can actually see the alfalfa leaves in the hay, very good chance that it hasn't been treated with anything toxic. But let's go with organic just to be sure.
Yeah.
And then with the alfalfa pellets, of course, we have to take the word for it that it's organic. Mm-hmm. All right. What I want to do is, mix the dirt with some of the alfalfa pellets and a little bit of the alfalfa hay, but it's like 5 to 10% of the final mixed product will be alfalfa hay and pellets. And that goes back into the dirt. So the idea is that as the days pass, this stuff is going to decompose and is going to put some fertilizer into the soil, into this much larger hole. In fact, I'm kind of thinking like the hole is going to be a good 3 feet across and a foot and a half deep.
They're about 4 feet across right now and about a foot and a half deep. Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So you're going to mix a little bit of this, of alfalfa pellets and the loose alfalfa into that, but not more than 10% alfalfa. Because more than 10%, it'll be too hot. It'll be too much for the tree. Okay. Now, I'm going to say, okay, you're going to refill. So you're going to put the plant in the middle. You're going to refill the hole with this new mix that you just made.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know what's in your soil or not in your soil. So I can't make any mineral recommendations, but this act of what we just did is adding organic matter and nitrogen into the soil. You are most definitely deficient in nitrogen and you're most definitely deficient in organic matter. And so we've kind of mitigated that without getting too hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so now let's say that it's all planted and everything's underway and you've irrigated the whole area around there to kind of get it started.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the roots have a place to kind of go to get. So I think that with this recipe I've just given you, you have made a $10 hole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, your comments earlier are spot on about like, let's talk mulch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried if you put too much hay on the top, on the surface, that might be too hot. The other thing is don't let your mulch get within 8 inches of the trunk of the tree.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say let's do, boy. All right. I'm going to give you a recipe that I'm making up right now.
Okay.
I want you to put down 2 inches of wood chips.
Okay.
All around the tree in a big donut shape so that the wood chips don't come within 8 inches of the trunk. And that the total diameter is that 4 feet of what you dug up. Okay.
Yep.
So you put 2 inches of wood chips. And then you're going to put I want you to add alfalfa, either loose or as the pellets in blobs on your donut. The thing is that there's a thing called glee that could happen that I don't want to have happen. And that's when you have a high nitrogen, like your alfalfa, and when it gets wet, it could make a hydrophobic layer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I want you to do it in little blobs.
Yeah.
So that it can't make a hydrophobic layer. So you're going to do these blobs around, and then you're going to put down another inch of wood chips and some more blobs and another inch of wood chips. And so then the whole thing should end up being about 6 to 8 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is what I'm going to recommend at this time. So basically what's going to happen is that when you water or when it rains, then some of the nitrogen is going to end up going into the wood chips below and get stuck on those wood chips. But some of it's going to get past the wood chips also. And then when the wood chips break down enough, it's going to release that nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, go out and pee on those wood chips from time to time.
Yep.
Yeah. This is my recipe of trying to give those apple trees a best chance of success.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else you might possibly do to add to those apple trees. And I'm thinking like, nope, this is what I got. This is the best I have.
Okay. I also have a bunch of burlap bags that I was kind of planning to lay over whatever mulch I did and then hold down with rocks in order to ideally prevent all of it from blowing away. Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Oh, boy. I think I'd rather just put the rocks directly on the mulch.
Okay.
The thing is like, what's in that burlap? I've got a skeptical eye towards that burlap.
Okay.
Yeah. I do think that putting the rocks on top of the, a lot of the mulch is not a bad idea. But part of it is too that the roots need to get some air down there and the rocks kind of will hold the mulch, but they'll also block some of the air.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't put rocks around the whole thing, but I would put rocks around some of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because we don't have our berms in place yet.
No. Mm-mm.
Don't put too much water on those apples.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put too little.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know.
You know, it's because depends on how much drainage you have and all kinds of different things. I mean, it might not be a bad idea. Like, this could be a great time for you to get that soil sample tool.
Mm-hmm.
And start learning how to use it. You know.
Yeah.
But we want to have good success with those trees. And the berms that we talked about, the sooner you put those in, the better, because that's going to help with those trees. Because, like, even though you've got, like, the roots are all being cared for in an awesome way, you still got the wind just drying out the tops of those trees too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's try to mitigate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
That's my best that I got for you. Gotta build that soil. Gotta get them some organic matter. I kind of feel like I'm tempted in the mix that we put back in to put some wood chips in there too, just to kind of add some instant organic matter. But I think it's going to cause more problems than it's going to help.
Okay.
I don't know. I got nothing. I do think it's going to be good to not only go out there and pee on it once in a while, but to do some of your root stout type. Here's some kitchen scraps. Place those kitchen scraps, like, at least a foot away from the tree.
Yep.
Place them directly on top of your wood chips, and then put, like, 2 inches of wood chips on top of those kitchen scraps.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be really good for the tree. And, of course, I'm assuming all those kitchen scraps are purely organic.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I do bokashi is because I can also put, like, you know, meat and dairy and stuff like that in there. Mm-hmm. With that kind of composting, I wouldn't want to use those things. I can just do, like, lettuce and tomato parts and orange peels and stuff like that. So
I would rather run the meat and dairy through those dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like, hey, we live in the country now, dogs. Less kibble.
Yeah.
And you see those mice over there?
Yeah.
And whatever other varmints are coming after those apple trees. I mean, that's another thing, too, is, like, we start adding in our mulches and stuff. Suddenly, moles and voles can become a bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great time to have dogs out there that think moles and voles are tasty.
Yeah.
And so, and then, of course, there's the deer that are going to be looking at those apple trees like, oh, you put candy out here for me.
Yeah.
Do you want to still get some dirt?
It might be a good idea to explore Sepulcher's bone sauce.
Okay.
In the short term. And I think I've heard of people like you might be able to buy some. I don't know about that, but I want you to write down what it is, Sepulcher's bone sauce.
Yep.
And it's like you might explore making it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. It seems like if you spend enough time going down a Google rabbit hole, you might be able to buy some. But the idea is that if you put this stuff on your apple trees, deer and antelope and other animals will find your apple trees to be distasteful. They will not want to nibble. And so your apple trees have a much better chance of success then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Jenny, I think we're out of time, but I'll give you one more question.
Do you know anybody who wants to come and live in Colorado and help me out?
All right. Let's talk about this a little bit. How big of a house do you got?
400 square feet. It's pretty tiny.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a pretty intimate arrangement.
Yeah, I know. That's why my partner of 10 years and I were like, oh, this is a great, it's going to work for us really well. But Yeah, no, that's that. Yeah, it's a big challenge. You know, I've got this steel container out back that I'm eventually going to turn into probably another little tiny house. But again, these are things that are down the road and I need help doing it all. That's the big problem. I've met a bunch of people around here. I know a plumber now. I know an electrician. I know people who build stuff. So I've got some resources and some people locally that can help, but, you know, this is a long-term huge project. And since it's just me now, it's a lot harder. You know, I've got my mom and my sister out here helping me this weekend and some friends coming down, but yeah. Long term, I'm kind of one of those Otises you're talking about in your skip book. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. Oh boy. That's a yeah. big one. That's a big ask. Now, I mean, there are programs like WOOF,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I think that a program like WOOF is going to expect that when they arrive, that you've
There's
got something, you've got something like what you, like the thing that you're, they're going to expect what you're currently planning on having 6 years from now.
Yeah.
And so then it kind of falls into this space of like, if you don't have that, then it's going to be like, you're probably going to have to pay them to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Now there's the element of like the, I mean, basically the next thing is you're thinking like skip, but it's kind of like there's two problems here. One is that you need somebody to show up who's going to probably be useful.
Yep.
And there's a lot, and for every person who's authentically useful, you'll find 20 people who are glad to say that they are useful and they are not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at the same time, if somebody shows up and they're authentically useful, they need to be feeling like they're getting something out of the deal. And you mm-hmm. don't look like you're going to die soon enough.
Well, I didn't think Alex was going to die at 33 either,
no.
but, you know.
No. Oh, all true. All true.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, what are you going to put on the table for them?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, part of the whole skip thing is the story of Mike Ayler.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike had over 100 different interns and he mm-hmm. he was basically offering what you're offering. Only Mike had a lot more on the table.
Oh yeah.
And Mike was willing to bring people up to speed. But the thing is that 100 interns came and 100 interns left.
Mm-hmm.
And no skip thing ever worked out. No anything ever worked out long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like, okay, worth exploring the why of that all. And you know, so it's kind of like, how do you attract? What do you offer? And,
mm-hmm.
The obvious one is like, okay, I'm going to pay somebody more than minimum wage to come and help me get this started. And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know, Jenny, do you have that kind of coin?
Nope.
All right. Time to get creative. What you do have is a lot of acres.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, so what I've done is I've done the boot camp.
Yep.
And I'm offering an acre after 2 years. But my land is also forested.
Yeah.
And so yours is very deserty. I don't know, maybe people are like liking that deserty look and they're like, oh, that's prettier than Paul's place. maybe.
I don't
you know?
Think so.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And so it's like, 5 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, but now the next thing is that either party can end the relationship at any time, meaning they can ditch you whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
But also if they turn out to be yucky in some way, like they're hostile or mean, you mm-hmm. have the right to be able to say, time for you to go down the road.
Yeah.
So that means that they need to be able to learn, like get an idea of what your values are. What might be the thing that you might send down the road? Like how, who are you? What are your values? And so for me, I've put out a lot of podcasts so people can learn before coming out whether or not this could work.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, most people, rightfully so, come to the conclusion of no. And they don't come here.
Yeah.
And there's just a handful that do. That is healthy and good.
Yeah.
So you have to come up with some way so that people can really know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. I mean, your options are that somehow you build all of this and then you can get woofers to come.
Yeah.
Or, you know, somebody like the boot camp or something like that. And there's going to be some sort of trade. Or.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to pay people.
People. Mm-hmm.
Whew. That one's tough. That
it
one's
is.
Tough. And so.
It is.
I don't have a real good solution at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the other thing is I'm sure you can easily find 1,000 people who say that they'll come and help you if you let them park their bus or their trailer or their whatever, their tiny home or whatever on your land. I bet you could find 1,000 of them who will say that they're glad to help you. And then it's kind of like, okay, that's another place where the whole skip stuff comes in, because if they're PEP 1 certified, I think that there's a much better chance that they're going to authentically be helpful.
Yeah.
But the stories that people have of people who made that arrangement that turned out that they weren't helpful.
Yeah.
That is a long list. I'm sure you've heard some of those stories.
Yeah. And I've read about it on the Permies website, you know, the Permies forum in a few places. Yeah.
Okay. So.
And other people struggling with this too, you know, they need the help. They want the help. They can't afford to pay the help. So how do you get people.
Right.
Who really, yeah, align with your values to come out and help you for minimal pay or no pay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what are you putting up to trade? You know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, like suppose somebody is PEP 3 certified.
Mm-hmm.
It's more likely that you would be willing. And now I'm going in a whole different space to say something like, I'll work at a deal with you where I'll give you 5 acres before you arrive. Like, you know, legally 5 acres. Like, I'll sign the 5 acres over to you.
Yeah.
And you'll come here and the arrangement is, I have no idea what the arrangement is. The 2 years of indentured servitude or something. I have no idea. But it seems like if they're PEP 3 certified, they've proven that they've accomplished this much. It's not just talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so entering into a transactional arrangement seems more likely. Seems better. Like more likely to work out. And then it's like, and now I'm going to get 2 years of your help on my 2 acres, which is part of my 35 acres, you know, kind of a thing. And it seems more likely that they're going to actually help.
Yeah.
Than if somebody is not PEP 3 certified.
Mm-hmm.
I just am making this shit up. But I think what I hear you saying is, yeah, I think I'll do that. Because without the PEP 3 certification, you've got like a 99% chance that people will show up and just camp on your land and they will never help.
Yeah. Or they just don't know how to help at all.
And then there's some of that too.
Yeah. And while, I don't know everything yet, obviously, I'm consulting with you. There's a lot of work I need to do to get myself up to speed for a lot of this stuff. But having someone who actually has more experience than me would be a wonderful thing, you know?
Ooh,
I'm happy to learn from somebody, but I'm also happy to teach somebody. But if I'm teaching somebody, I'm probably learning alongside them at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I'm recording this as a podcast.
Yep.
And we'll put it up. There'll be a thread at Permies that will be created probably a week from today.
Okay.
And so you'll want to watch for that. And then you'll want to reply to that and say, it's me, Jenny, the person in the podcast.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in developing a relationship with me on my land, then send me a purple moosage, which is the private, it's the replacement for private messages on Permies.
Yeah.
And so you can start to talk. I think that's a fair way to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Jenny. Good luck with those
apple trees.
I very much want those apple trees to work out.
Me too.
So if you like this sort of thing, come on out to the forums at permies.com where we talk about windy, deserty property, homesteading, and permaculture.
Yep.
Don't forget, go out to patreon.com/Paul Wheaton and make a pledge for future artifacts.